dangerous journey.
Am I the only one here tonight? Shaking my head and thinking something ain't right. Is it just me? Am I losing my mind? Am I standing on the edge of the end of time? Am I the only one? Tell me I'm not. Who thinks of taking all the good we got and turning it bad? Hell, I'll be damned. I think I'm turning into my old man. Am I the only one willing to bleed or take a bullet for being free? Screaming what the hell at my TV for telling me, yeah, are you telling me that I'm the only one willing to fight for my love of the red and white and the blue? Burn another statue coming down in a town near you. Watching the threads of old glory come undone. Am I the only one not brainwashed? Making my way through the land of the lost, sees it as it is and worries about his kids as they try to undo all the things he did. Am I the only one who can't take no more screaming? If you don't like it, there's a frickin' door. This ain't the freedom we've been fighting for. It was something more. Yeah, it was something more. Am I the only one willing to fight for my love of the red and white and the blue? Burning on the ground, another statue coming down in a town near you. Watching the threads of all glory come undone. Not the only one.
This is Global Patriot Radio.
Welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the dawn of dissenting discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight and every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that No Pork Eating America. Love it. Al, how you doing, Big Al?
Hey, doing terrific. Great to be here as always.
It's great to be. It's Monday. It is November the 1st. Can you believe that? Today is November 1st. I mean, you have Thanksgiving, which is about 3 weeks away, maybe a little bit more. Christmas is next month. I mean, where did this year go? Oh, my Biden. Let's go, Brendan.
Gives new meaning to LGB. I can tell you that.
Let's go. Yeah. That's a good one. Hey, how you doing? Speaking of how you doing, we got Bigfoot in the house. We got www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. A great blog spot. I encourage you all to read it frequently. I know I do. Love the stories in there. It's got some great stories from the United States, all around the world. So if you want to get a little educated on what's happening around the globe, he's got a great blog spot. You could check out stories from the Washington Examiner, the Federalist, go to Newsbusters, Global News, Free Press, the Irish Examiner, Brussels Times, Sputnik International, Euronews, Sofia Globe, and that would be Sofia Bulgaria, by the way, not Sofia Viagra. Italy, 24 Hours. I mean, so some great posting. Big does a fantastic job of putting this blog spot together, so I encourage you to read it. Hey, Gulf Dogs, how you doing? And Sue, nice to see you, Sue. Sue from New Mexico. I hope you're doing well, Sue. And hello to everybody that on the podcast and listening around the Global Patriot Radio globe. Yesterday, PGA was in Bermuda over the weekend, actually. 25-year-old rookie Australian Lucas Herbert took over the tourney yesterday afternoon, and he ended up winning by one stroke over America's Patrick Reed. I think he shot a 65, Patrick Reed. Fellow Australian Danny Lee, who played great down the stretch, and Herbert picked up his first PGA Tour victory. The weather was windy and wet, and I got to give the young man credit. He played fantastic. He shot two under to grab the lead and hold on. It was a tough course under tough conditions. Canadian Taylor Pendrith was the leader going into Sunday, and that guy struggled. I felt bad for him. I don't know if you watched the tournament, Al, but he shot a 4-over-76, and he ended up tied for fifth, but on 17, I thought I was playing with, thought I was playing with the guys on Saturday, and he hit two balls in the water, one off the tee, and then he tried to go for the green in two, and he just hit a horrible second shot, which was his third shot. Ended up taking a double bogey, and that was it for him. But nothing against, though, what Lucas Herbert did. He gets his first PGA Tour win, and the young man now qualifies for the Masters tournament. So that is even better.
Yeah, that was a good – he played well. Solid all the way through. He said he wanted bad weather, and he got it. He liked the rough conditions, and he excelled and won, like you said, his first victory. So congratulations to him. That was just phenomenal. To get a PGA victory in your life, that is something.
Yeah, he set 2-year exemption, gets into this couple of majors, and he won himself a bucket of their money as well. But the more important thing is he gets that exemption, and he's into the Masters without having to qualify. That's just fantastic. I mean, what a great feeling. And now you kind of have that monkey off your back. You know, I got to finish in the top, 10. I got to get here. I got to get there. Danny Lee is one of those guys that he needed to have some top finishes the next two tournaments or he loses his card. So the second place finish was fantastic, but he kind of melted in the back nine, like 10, 11, and 12 or 11, 12, and 13. It's like, who was this guy? And then he righted the ship and he made it really good. Major League Baseball is still going on. It's the World Series. It's the Houston Astros against the Atlanta Braves. And the Braves took a 3-1 lead in the series going into last night's game. Started out the first inning, hits a grand slam. And then I found out this morning that the Astros rallied behind their team, and they beat the Braves 9-5. So the series is 3-2, still with the Braves up, but they're now going back to Houston. So
yep. Game 6 tomorrow, 8:09 p.m. Should be
8:09 p.m. Ah, great. I won't be watching, but so here we go.
Yeah, I've been getting a sense that all the kneeling and all of that is kind of fading away.
Really?
Are you getting that sense, or is it just my denying that it's happening?
No, I think you're right. But I'll say this. I've not watched an NFL game. You know, when I get a text or an email from Belly, or you know, a text from Holger that says, you know, I was going to watch the Minnesota game, and right before the game time, all the players remained in the locker room, and they played Alicia Keys' The Black Anthem. And it's like, that did it. Boom. I have no desire. There's only one. There's only one national anthem, and it's the Star Spangled Banner. It is the our nation's anthem. That's it. There's one anthem. And for these Marxists to continue to try to separate America and to shove this multicultural, politically correct crap down our throats is something that we should continue to reject. And this whole Black Lives Matter issue is a ruse. This whole racial issue, it was a ruse. And we know it's a ruse. You know, they made the left wing put this in place from 2017 to 2020. And it was a means of dividing America. It was a means of trying to get Donald Trump and to define who Donald Trump is. And Donald Trump did not allow them to define him. But they tried to make his presidency hell. And they manufactured phony scenarios. They manufactured phony narratives, including racist narratives. And the Black Lives Matter was one of those phony narratives that was contrived by the left wing, the Marxists, the communists in America. And we're seeing it today. And the NFL, you know, they fell for it. They bought into it hook, line, and sinker. And it's been nothing but a separatist movement. So I've got no desire to watch any NFL games. I mean, I'll watch college, you know, until they start pulling this nonsense as well. But I've got no desire to watch the NFL anymore. I couldn't really care less.
I haven't been watching, so that's why I haven't been noticing. So maybe I am just in denial.
And
it is
no
ruse. Yeah, no, I mean, it is no ruse, because Patrice Cullors, who is one of the co-founders of Black Lives Matter movement, she describes herself as a trained Marxist and says she's proud of comparisons to Mao Zedong. She says it plain and simple. She's been saying it since 2020. She said it again in a interview a couple of weeks ago, if even that, maybe last week. So no, it is no ruse. They're open and upfront about it, but the mainstream media is just not talking about it, and this is just an extension of it. And then you got Kaepernick. Did you see that? Kaepernick he compared the NFL draft to slavery, to like a slave auction.
Why? He got drafted.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's because the players, who are probably majority black, I guess, in the NFL, which I don't know, it shouldn't be that way. It should be equal. But anyway, so they're analyzed from how fast they run the 100-yard dash to their weight, their strength, how high they can jump, and it's all physical related, like football isn't. And he compares it to slave auctions, where slave owners would evaluate the blacks that they were buying as slaves. So he believes that that is the same as the NFL teams buying these black players to play for their teams. But what he left out is that it's voluntary, and they're getting paid millions of dollars to do it. And they all don't make it. And the ones who don't make it are very upset because their big payday is gone. So Kaepernick is just a dick. But that's
getting press.
That's getting play. And that just fuels this racism, this animosity, the splitting up of who we are, and it throws E Pluribus Unum out of many one, the foundation of our great republic. It just cracks at the foundation of it as Kaepernick and those like him are trying to divide the country, and I don't like it.
Think about how insane that is, okay? And you can go to BizPack Review, and it's in Bigfoot'sPlace.blogspot.com. There's a story that he has. And you know, this whole thing with this slave trade is just – see, this is the absurdity. This is how radical and how far out these Marxists are. I mean, to equate the NFL draft or any draft to slave trade, you know, this is a fabrication. This is making something out of nothing. And this is wanting attention. This guy, Kaepernick, is craving attention. He can't stand the fact any longer that he's an afterthought. And this racist, he's a flat out racist. There's nothing else that you can surmise from it. He is a absolute racist. He's a black nationalist. This is how radical he is. The white people are not as radical as Colin Kaepernick is. And Colin Kaepernick is an anti-American. I mean, this guy had the ability to be a superstar, and for a short time he was until the players figured out how to play this guy. And he turned out to be a mediocre quarterback at best. Yes, he led the San Francisco 49ers to the Super Bowl, and they were very close to winning the Super Bowl. But to make the statement that he makes, to equate a draft as slave trade, is absurd. And Kaepernick has got a screw loose in his head. Maybe he took too many headshots, you know, in college, in high school, college, and maybe even in the NFL. That's insane. And really, the NFL should call out and say, enough is enough. You know, it's one thing with this woke crowd, but then to equate this is about talent. And not everybody makes it to the pinnacle of their sport. Whether it's football, baseball, golf, tennis, you have to have a talent. And these kids, you know, growing up, they glom onto a sport, whether it's football or baseball, and very, very few make it to the next level. And that next level could be college. That next level would be professional football. And, you know, be thankful for that. And now today you're compensated handsomely for playing a kid's sport, and somehow you're elevated to an elite status, and you have some sort of an invincibility to you when you somehow become a professional athlete. Now, some are still grounded. Some players still remain grounded and are really good people, but Colin Kaepernick is an ass. There's nothing else you can say about it. He is an anti-American. He is a black nationalist, and he's a racist. And, you know, you're talking about a money-making, profiteering organization, the NFL, and they have every right to profit. And we have every right as consumers to say, hey, we don't want to watch that anymore. We don't want to participate in their games anymore. We don't like their antics. And maybe they've seen the light, and which some have. And there's nothing else, you know, that the NFL is getting it, and they don't want these. As Holdren had said, there was no antics or shenanigans with the anthem yesterday. So, okay, but in the meantime, you still have adopted a black anthem. There is no black national anthem. We have one national anthem in the United States. It's called the Star Spangled Banner. And if Yahoo's phonies, if communists like Colin Kaepernick doesn't like the way the United States is run, by all means, go to Venezuela. Matter of fact, take a short boat ride over to Cuba and adopt Cuba as your country if you so like communism, if you so like the government telling you who you are, what you can do for a living, and how much money you can earn. Matter of fact, you can wear your pig socks, okay, your pig police socks in Cuba, all right, and you could be lauded by the people there, by the government there. I mean, this is asinine. These people are insane. They're absolutely insane. And Colin Kaepernick is a phony, and so is the leader of Black Lives Matters, who has enriched herself handsomely at the expense of a phony cause, all because these corporations got scared. These corporations got nervous. You throw the R word out, racism, and you're supposed to bend and fold, and you write a check so you can feel better. And that's what organizations did, like Coca-Cola, like the NFL, and all that happy nonsense that they bought into. And these fear-mongers and thieves and phony charlatans like Colin Kaepernick want to be relevant, and he's nothing but a phony and a fraud.
Well, 2020 statistics, white players make up 24.9% of the NFL compared to 57.5% of players who identify as Black or African American.
Oh.
So...
Wait a minute. Now, when we went to school, 24% was much lower than 57%. So you're
right.
Saying that the opportunity for blacks are far better in NFL than they are for whites?
No, I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying that is the makeup of white to black. Color has nothing to do with anything in the NFL. If anything is merit-based, it's football. It's sports. And in the NFL, the National Football League, it's predominantly black and fewer whites. Now, if you go to professional curling, that's the sport with on the ice with sweepers. Well, they tend to be primarily white. I don't know of any black sweepers or that play curling.
Well, that would probably be racist.
Well, then you go to pigeon, what's it called, cornholing. And no, that's not something they do in West Virginia. This is an actual game where you throw a beanbag into a hole. It's sort of like horseshoes but with beanbags and no stake. I don't get it, but it's on ESPN when I'm flipping channels, and that's primarily white. I don't see very many blacks or African-Americans cornholing. And yeah, no, and no jokes, please.
And you know what, Al?
I don't know too many
slaves that get contracts for $55 million, for $105 million. What did the black player, the quarterback from Kansas City, get a $225 million contract for being a slave? Wow. I mean, let's ask the Uyghurs in China about slavery and how much money that they're making as slaves when they were drafted to be in concentration camps in China. You know, this is what makes the whole cry, the whole whining by Colin Kaepernick to be absolutely bogus. And this is what the left is. They're nothing but bogus whiners. And they seek to change history, you know, when in fact history is part of our culture. History is what makes what made America better and greater, and at one point was the greatest country in the world, the leader of the free world. I mean, and then this Yahoo comes out and talks about it being slavery, when in fact you've got players making tens of millions of dollars for playing for excelling at their craft and being recognized for their talent. And what a way to demean an individual. And just because Colin Kaepernick ended up being a good quarterback, you know, he was basically a mediocre quarterback at best. He would fit well in the Joe Biden administration and making America mediocre again. It's just nonsense. It is easy.
He could He could go to the Canadian Football League, Vito. A lot of players do, and they're no longer NFL material. They'll go to the Canadian Football League and play there, except for the Canada is also known as the Great White North, not because of the color of people's skin, but because of the snow and the rain and the ice and the weather. They call it the Great White North. Well, Kaepernick said, I'll be damned if I be going up to the Great White North, he said. And, you know, I thought that was a little bit racist. I was taken aback. I was offended. But then it goes even further. Okay, now, here's a story from the Washington Post, April 29th, 2021. It's not too long ago. Black agents, that's NFL agents, football agents, these are agents or people who manage the careers of professional athletes.
Okay.
Well, black agents say they struggle to sign white NFL players is the headline. Well, how could you have black agents in a systemically racist football league where it's 57% blacks versus 25% whites with black agents saying they can't find white NFL players? Kaepernick doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. He's just trying to stir up. He's just trying to stir up the race pot, and I won't have any of it.
So 25% of the league is white, and then the black agents are lamenting that they can't sign white football players, white pros. It's like, how many are there? I mean,
I don't know.
Insane.
Where are
it's
the white
insane.
People at? Well, they're curling, Vito. They're cornholing, Vito. And the Latinos have jockeying nailed down tight.
Oh.
Nobody can get into that guild.
That's true. That's they do. And Castellano was one of the good jockeys. I used to any time Castellano in his younger days was riding, man, that's the guy that I would or Dominguez. You're right. I forgot. Most it's Santos. Santos is another good jockey. Santos, Domingos, and Castellanos, man. They would get on a horse. They were great. They were great jockeys. I think I would take a horse based upon the jockey. And I used to like my uncle was one turned me on to Santos and Dominguez. They were good. So
is that when you used to go OTB?
When we go to Vegas, I would actually call my aunt to find out, what track and who's running, and she always gave me the three or four jockeys to look for, and if they weren't in the same racing together. I mean, Santos was one that I really liked. I liked that guy. He was really good. Made some money off of him and his horses. So, not. I digress. Go ahead. I'm sorry. It wasn't about me.
No. I'm going to ask you why the long face.
Huh. Oh, that's a horse of a different color.
Oh.
Oh. So Kaepernick's an idiot. Yeah. Bottom line.
Total idiot.
You know. What a
I'll even go as far as to call him he's full of buffoonery.
Yeah. And the Black Lives Matter cause is also full of buffoonery. I mean, it's another ruse that was put in by the Democrat Communist Party and to separate America, basically. That's all it is. So.
Yeah.
So did you see what's happening in Virginia? It looks like the Virginia governor's race is starting to give the Democrat Communist Party a little agita. Glenn Youngkin has made some really big strides there, and the Democrat Communist Party is in the Nile and not the river because of what Glenn Youngkin is doing, and he's getting that positive press. And, you know, people have saw through if you think that Joe Biden is a dictator, Terry McAuliffe is absolutely an individual that you don't want as governor. And McAuliffe made it clear to parents. He made it very clear to parents around the United States or around Virginia that you have no say in your child's education. They, they are, they, the government, will tell you what your children will read, what your children will learn. It is the government that will dictate what the education of your child will be. You sit down and shut up. And as a matter of fact, we will get the Attorney General of the United States to have his FBI assist with designating parents domestic terrorists if they dare to question the elitist dictatorial school boards in Virginia and around the United States. And during a debate, McAuliffe and Youngkin, McAuliffe had the audacity to say to parents that you don't know what you're talking about. We do, and sit down and, you know, be quiet. And it's like, you know, at what point do parents stand up now, and they finally are getting engaged in their children's education? At what point do you sit there and say, you know what, we don't want this. We don't want this. You know, the government is telling parents of Virginia, you don't tell the government what to teach your children. And Terry McCall says,
a line.
It is. And, you know, so here's the unintended consequence of a government edict during the pandemic to keep people inside and to get conditioned people that, you know, that you're going to die if you don't get this vaccine and this pandemic, you know, put everybody in their houses. And now parents were working from home and they were actually seeing and hearing what their kids are learning, and they don't like it. And they don't like it. And they're fighting back. And you know what? It's what the parents are doing. Make no bones about it. If we go back to the United States Constitution, we have parents petitioning the government for a redress of grievances. And that is a guaranteed right under the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. That is a part of the Bill of Rights. And what you have is Terry McAuliffe, radical left-wing Marxist Terry McAuliffe in the Democrat Communist Party, including dictator Joe Biden, telling the American people that you cannot redress your government for grievances. And if you dare to attempt to redress your government for grievances, and we don't like the redress of grievances, we will designate you as a domestic terrorist. We will sick the FBI to investigate you and your family if you dare to speak out. And that is exactly what happened. That is exactly what's happening in Virginia under a Terry McAuliffe administration. That's what would happen. It's exactly what's happened, though, in the Czar Biden administration when he instructed Attorney General Merrick Garland to designate parents as domestic terrorists for redressing the government of grievances. You know, it's time that we start looking at the United States Constitution and we start demanding that our leaders in Washington, D.C. and in our state houses around all 50 states, or in Obama's case, all 57 states, and we start demanding that they adhere to the United States Constitution. Whether it's the President of the United States, the Vice President, or all 535 members of Congress who took an oath of office to protect and defend the U.S. Constitution, we should demand that they adhere to the U.S. Constitution and they stop abridging our right of free speech. They stop abridging our right to petition the government for a redress of grievances. They stop abridging our right to peaceably assemble. And they don't like what is being said by the parents by Americans around the country, and they dare to intimidate Americans by designating them domestic terrorists. That, Al, is wrong.
Well, this is how the other side looks at it, just to keep it fair. Imagine, this is from Valerie Strauss, the Washington Post is the source. Imagine you have a class of 25 students, Vito, and the parents, each one of them have their own ideas about how the teacher should or should not teach Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. Each parent or set of parents proceeds to email, call, text, or show up at school to discuss with the teacher their view of the lesson. They go on to say the teachers believe that this will create chaos in the classroom. It's absurd. It's absurd for parents to tell teachers what to teach, said Diane Ravitch. But they're missing the whole point. It's not the parents teaching, telling the teachers what to teach. It's what the teachers are teaching that has the parents so steamed. And they don't want to be told that what they're being taught is what they're teaching their kids is controversial, and they want the parents to shut up so they can teach without any type of input from the parents. And this is what they don't like, because they are fascists deep down inside. And the state of Florida is a great example of that, because the great governor of the state of Florida, Governor DeSantis, has a no-mask mandate where children are not forced to wear masks in school. Well, the school boards throughout Florida, some of them in the more liberal areas, are fighting and going against the rule of law because they don't want to be told what to do by the governor. So they're saying no to the rule of law and continuing these mandates, but they're going to face stiff and heavy fines by the governor, and they're now going to be suing the governor so they can continue with these mask mandates, even though the governor says it's not necessary. And then they have the balls to tell the parents to stop being, this is all about politics, when it is actually the Democrats who are making this all about politics and these school boards. That's how twisted and upside down this whole argument is.
Well, it is, and science is showing that it's not good for children between the ages of 5 and 15 to be wearing masks, or 5 and 12 to be wearing masks. All day long, that's right.
Now, if you're a surgeon and you're in the operating room for a few hours, well, yeah, you're wearing a mask so you don't sweat into the open wound that you're operating in. It's not meant to stop viruses.
Yeah, and you know, there's a difference there, though. Okay, so now you have these kids who are 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, and they're wearing a mask all day long. They're ingesting carbon monoxide. They are breathing in their own dirt, masks full of snot and all kinds of other bacteria. Mm-hmm. That's in the mask for what, 7 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours? And it's just not good.
Right.
When in fact you've got 40, you have children with regards to the China virus have a 99.8% survival rate. 99.8%. And, you know, they have a better chance of getting sick from the flu and having, you know, more side effects from the flu than they do from the China virus. And it's just, you know, this whole thing is just, it's made to condition the parents. It's conditioning the kids. And if you can condition the kids into fear, then the parents should follow, because they don't want anything to happen with a little Johnny or little Mary, you know, heaven forbid, mm-hmm. when in fact the science is telling us otherwise.
Right. But it's all about power.
Power.
It's all about power, because these politicians, elected politicians, right now with the national pandemic, they have extraordinary powers that they didn't have before in order to do things like these mandates and these teaching curriculums and not having parents involved in the classroom, calling the FBI to call them domestic terrorists. All of that and more is nothing but these elected officials having powers way beyond what they were elected to do, and they don't want to give it up. And that goes from the mayors to the governors of some states, and that is what it is all about. It's all about power. So when these local elections are going on in your town, you need to vote, because these local elections are going to impact you more than anything else. So you can't ignore it. And anything with an R, any person with an R, is better than anybody with a D, because the D's are Marxists. So just vote party line. And even in the nonpartisan races, you kind of know what the other person is. But don't sit on the sidelines for your local races. They're the most important, in my opinion. And that's what's going to be interesting with this McCullough race. And Youngkin is who wins. Will there be mail-in ballots? Won't there be mail-in ballots? Will the Democrats take advantage? Will it be a fair election? I don't know.
That's a great question, and I really do think that tomorrow's governor's race in Virginia is going to tell America and Americans what we need to know about the election process going forward. And what I mean by that is, will the Democrat Communist Party do enough cheating to steal that race? Because all indications right now are very clear. Terry McAuliffe is McAuliffe. He's awful. He offended, but he showed his hand. He showed the Democrat Communist Party hand. I'm not going to let parents come into schools and actually take books out and make their own decision. So, yeah, stop a bill that I don't think parents should be telling schools what they teach. And, again, this is the Clintonian big government mentality. So tomorrow's governor's race between Glenn Youngkin and Marxist McAuliffe will tell us all we need to know if, in fact, the election process is rigged going forward. You know, the Democrat Communist Party, they mastered the steal of 2020. And, you know, I understand, you know, people send emails and, you know, I understand, you know, oh, you know, you're just another Clintonite. I understand. Okay. Fully understand. Okay. But as far as my right to free speech, it just doesn't add up that Joe Biden got 81 million votes when, in fact, he launched his campaign in a basement and remained in the basement. And we saw throngs of people come out for President Trump at rallies, 25, 30,000, 8,000 people outside, 12,000 people outside. And there were 24 circles, individual circles for Biden rallies, and there were two empty circles. You know, so he had 12 people, 16. He had 250 people in cars when Barack Hussein Sotoro Obama came out and tried to campaign stuff for him. And basically, Biden had lied through his entire speech. He lied through his entire campaign. He's nothing but a phony and a fraud. And you can't tell me that enigma got 81 million votes. It's been 112 days since he's had a press conference. And we hear about is transparency. You know, the Democrat Communist Party, it loves sound bites and they love slogans. And the slogan and sound bite is transparency. And they accuse President Trump of not being transparent, other than he gave press conferences sometimes two or three times a day. He'd walk from the White House to Marine One, and he would answer each and every question from the press going down the line, and sometimes taking 30 minutes to walk to Marine One from the White House just answering questions. And today, with bubbling Joe Biden, you can't get him to answer one question following a teleprompter reading. This guy is so bad, and he's such a fucking fraud that we know now that the whole 2020 election was nothing but a fraud-laden election. And what we will see tomorrow coming out of Virginia, if somebody as bad, as much of a dictator as dictator Joe Biden, as dictator Terry McAuliffe is, telling parents to sit down and shut up, if this guy wins by 5 percentage points, by 2 percentage points, you know that the whole thing was rigged. I mean, there's no way, shape, or form that a Clinton disciple who has this big government mentality, who says that a child, a village needs to raise your child, and parents, you just shut up, should even be considered for governor of a state. I think the people of Virginia should wisen up, and I think they have. I think, you know what, it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat. It doesn't matter if you're a Republican. The choice is really clear. Do you want a big government tyrant as Terry McAuliffe? Or do you want somebody that believes in free enterprise capitalism and that parents should be engaged in making a decision? How many times have we heard in the past that parents don't get involved in their child's education? Huh? How many times have we heard the reason our education system is in the shape it's in is because parents don't get involved? Now parents are getting involved. And they don't like the Marxist agenda. They don't like the communist agenda. They don't like the socialist agenda. They expect the education system to teach their children reading, writing, arithmetic. Anything to do about sex and sexual nature, asking your 5- and 6-year-old how do they identify, is bullshit. It shouldn't be asked by the government. This is not indoctrination by the government. You teach the kids reading, writing, arithmetic, get them prepared for the outside world. And yeah, you know what? It's the parents' job to teach the children respect as well. And there has to be some sort of respect in the classroom as well. But this is what happens with the pollution of progressive politics. It's not only has it dumbed down America, it's incorporated these malicious multicultural and politically correct cancer that has absolutely been, it's wrong for America. And yet you have somebody who espouses that big government mentality versus someone who wants to empower the parents, Glenn Youngkin. And it's time that we start taking back our villages. We start taking back our school boards. We start taking back our city assemblies and city and county boards. Enough already. Enough. Spending is out of control. The education system is out of control. Government is out of control. And it's gotten so power hungry that they will tell you exactly what to think. You don't worry about teaching your children. We will tell you how to teach your child. Well, 3 + 3 = 6, yes, but we must invoke and provoke thought. So, and not necessarily 3 + 3 = 6, but how do you get to that? Well, you take the 3 and you multiply it times 2 and you divide it by 6 and then you multiply it. And it's like, no, there's one step. 3 + 3 = 6. Okay? Teach my kid reading, writing, arithmetic. I will also teach my kid values. I don't want you teaching my child that you may be a girl, or you may be a boy, or just identify as Z or X or Y. That's crap. You are born with a penis, you're a boy. You're born with a vagina, you're a girl. I don't want you telling my kids otherwise. We've got through, 244 years we've gotten through, you know, with a really good mentality, and now we've got these Marxists who are invoking pollution into our children's minds. And there's absolutely zero respect, too. I hear some of the kids talking about what other kids are saying to teachers. That is just wrong. My God, if we ever talked to a teacher in our day, the way that these kids talk to teachers today, my father would hit me so quick. My mouth and my nose would be bloody for disrespecting a teacher. not that they elevated the teachers, but you had a certain respect and decorum for teachers. And today there's none. Just do what you please. And that's the whole pollution of progressive politics. This sexual revolution. How do you identify? Al, how are you identifying today? Are you identifying as a lesbian today? Or are you identifying as heterosexual today? I mean, really?
Well, I guess it works because if you're a cross-dressing male, you can become a five-star admiral and outrank General Patton.
That's still...
So I don't even know how to answer that question anymore because the whole world has gone crazy.
So in Virginia, apparently there are signs that are appearing all over Virginia that are saying, keep parents out of classroom, vote McAuliffe. Keep Virginia blue. Can you believe that? I mean, that alone is going to be an incentive for me to vote for the other person. Keep parents out of the classroom, vote McAuliffe, and keep Virginia blue. So now you even have Chuck Todd of Meet the Depressed, who is saying that his comments were taken out of context. Really? I just read you what he said. And now keep parents out of classrooms. Really? Keep the parent. So they're going to teach. The government wants to teach your child the way they deem, you know, not the way they should be taught, but this whole progressive pollution mentality. So tomorrow is going to be really key. Will there be a message sent that Americans are no longer going to tolerate this? And it's going to be very interesting.
The silver lining of all this pandemic is that now the parents know what their kids are being taught in school, and they don't like it. So that's the silver lining, and they're speaking out against it. And these school boards don't like the parents know what they're teaching, and it's actually good. It's a tipping point issue.
But then you know what? Then maybe parents will start getting more involved when it comes to election time, and they start noticing who the candidates are for school board. And you know, and I know it's time consuming, and I know it takes some time out of your life. But you know, maybe it's getting engaged in the school board races. They're not very low, are they? A lowly school board race. It's not very lowly anymore for a school board race. There's really consequences with regards to who gets into the school board, and if it's good old boys system, and you know, we'll tell you what we're going to teach your children, and you just keep your mouth shut and sit back.
Yeah, and what we're seeing is a lot like with the airlines, with the pilots going on sick. They're having sick days to the point of thousands of flights being canceled or hundreds of flights being canceled. Creating havoc within the transportation system. Well, parents are taking their kids out of school and enrolling them in private schools or homeschooling. And why this is so important is that each one of these kids, when they enroll in a school, the school itself gets public funds from anywhere from 5 to 6 up to 10 grand in some districts. And when you have 100 kids, 200 kids, 300 kids getting pulled out of the public school system, that is big money for these schools. So now it's hitting them in their pockets, in their pocketbooks, and their budgets. And that is what is not being reported, that is one of the driving influences. So,
you know, it's funny you mentioned about the airlines. I was reading a story, American Airlines cancels hundreds of flights. Southwest is seeing delays. And what's interesting is there are staff shortages. And again, you know, the bumbling Biden administration issued an edict. And that edict was that any employers, private employers who were had 100 or more employees, they were going to have OSHA dictate vaccine mandates. And that's tyrannical. And people are fighting back, right?
Yeah, no vaccine, no job. So these people are saying, all right, well, here you go. I'm not going to work.
Well, on Sunday morning, FlightAware said 710 American Airlines flights have been canceled and 135 were delayed. On Saturday, the company canceled 543 flights, or 20% of total traffic, and delayed 437 flights. According to flight traffic tracking website, Southwest Airlines had 187, or 5% of flights canceled, and 260, or 7% flights delayed on Sunday. Saturday, the company canceled 87, or 2% of flights, delayed 764. So both airlines were responding to upset passengers on social media, with American Airlines citing staffing issues in some replies. Southwest Airlines said in a statement to us Friday, Friday's delays were a result of the severe weather across parts of the country, true, which you'll notice on Friday's weather map, including heavy rain, low clouds, ceiling and gusty cloud ceilings, gusty winds. And American Airlines said they expected these last days of October to be challenging, citing severe winds at Dallas, Fort Worth International Airport, creating crosswind limitation that sharply reduced arrival capacity by more than half. But
bullshit.
American says they expect 1,800 flight attendants to return to work after being away on leave by November 1st. The remainder of the flight attendants are expected to be back December 1st, the airline said Saturday. American also said they expect to have over 600 new flight attendants hired by the end of December.
Sounds like the problem at the ports, just a little bit different over in Long Beach in L.A. And the problem with the ports is that the truckers, there are not enough truckers coming in, because the truckers have to, they're getting, there's a shakedown going on by the Longshoremen's Union, allowing the truckers in. They got to, because a lot of these are independent truckers, so they need to pay off the Longshoremen's Union. And then you have other government regulations regarding these truckers and how much, what they can come in, how many hours they can work. And then you have the ports themselves only being open, in some cases, 4 or 5 days a week versus 24/7 having trucks coming in and out to move all the containers. So it's regulations that are actually causing this bottleneck, all while our head of department transportation is on maternity leave with his husband. Oh, and it's a man married to another man whose husband, and now they're on maternity leave. And there's still a big, big issue about who's doing the breastfeeding. Because in order for a baby to bond with the parent, there should be breastfeeding. I mean, everybody knows that. And so this is the problem that's happening with our head of transportation, Mayor Pete, and his husband.
So what
I think Mayor Pete is breastfeeding, personally.
It's like Rodney Dangerfield got no respect. When I was a baby, I was breastfed by my father.
Well, I read one story. I can't confirm whether it's true or not, but they had a prosthesis where same-sex couples that adopt kids, and if it's guys, that they can have a prosthesis, which is like big woman breasts, and that they put it on, and they let the baby suck on the prosthesis breasts on the man. I kid you not. This is real. And that promotes bonding for same-sex male couples with their children. I can't believe I'm even having this conversation with you.
Well, it's important that, you know, that you educate.
No, it's totally messed up that we're even talking about this. You realize that?
Well, okay, so Pete Buttcheeks is the cabinet member, Secretary of Transportation.
Right.
And somehow it's okay that this administration fails to address the border issue. The border czar is Communist Kamala, and she's yet to been to the border. Oh, yes, she went. I know. Before you guys send any mail, any emails and notices, yes, we understand that she went to the safest part of the border, but hasn't been to the real hot spots, okay? So it was just more of a publicity stunt than anything else because it's symbolism over substance with the Biden-Harris-Obama team. Now, Pete Buttcheeks can't resolve the issues of the ports because he was on a three-month paternity leave, right? Family leave, excuse me. But Belly just put in the chat room that Pete Buttcheeks went to Glasgow for the climate circus too. So if he is able to take time away from his newborns, adopted children, and address the climate ruse issue. Why isn't it he over at Long Beach or LA ports and addressing the issue of these ships and containers that are delivering goods throughout the United States to the American people for consumption, who are they're sitting out on the water stranded. And if he can go to this climate change circus in Glasgow and leave his adopted children, then he certainly could get off of his happy ass and get out to California and address this crisis that's become a crisis. It should have never become a crisis. Like there's no urgency with these people. You know, Communist Kamala, you know, she gave her cackles. She talked a big game, and so did Biden about the border. And they simply evaded the border like an illegal alien invades the border. It doesn't even exist. And Afghanistan, it no longer exists. It's gone. It's done. It's off the charts. You know, it doesn't matter that bumbling Biden botched Afghanistan. And it's like there's no sense of urgency. We have an issue of distribution in this country right now. There are shortages everywhere being spoken about, from meat shortages to goods that are stalled off of the ports around the United States. And Pete Buttcheeks decides that he's going to go to Glasgow. He can leave his child, his adopted children, and fly to Glasgow. When he couldn't take a 3.5-hour plane ride and fly to California and work to resolve issue of goods being delivered to our ports. I mean, this is how phony and fraudulent this Biden-Harris-Obama administration is. I'm sorry, Al. If Pete Buttcheeks would have been president of the United States and he decided he's going to take 3 months off for a parental leave because of adopting two children, would that be tolerable? I mean, he's the president of the United States. Well, he's the Secretary of Transportation. We have a transportation issue that has a crisis that's growing in America. And yet these leftists, these Marxists, these communists see absolutely no urgency in resolving these issues. In the meantime, the American people, the working families that they sought to protect or they profess to protect, they are actually harming, and they're intentionally harming the American people. They're harming those people, those Americans who are earning less than $400,000 a year. The cost of meat has soared. The cost of pork has soared. Grocery prices have soared. Gas prices are soaring. And it's affecting each and every American, irrespective of their earnings capacity, whether they're making $10,000 a year, $50,000 a year, $100,000 a year. But what we do know is it's affecting each and every American making less than $400,000 a year. So that means that Joe Biden lied. It was nothing but a pure soundbite because it was the right thing to say at that time, and he knows he's not going to be held accountable for lying to the American people. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, with what's going on in California, President Trump would have brought in the Longshoremen Union, brought them to the White House, along with everybody associated with the ports, sat them down and said, okay, this is it. We're resolving this now. And it would have been resolved. He would have shook them down. He would have taken whatever regulations were there. We would have signed an executive order. All the regulations would have been lifted. And transportation would have been flowing out of the ports. And I say that. I say that because he already did it with bringing companies back to the United States, these manufacturing companies that were manufacturing outside of the United States. They were coming back in droves, and these were Democrats. A lot of these companies were owned by Democrats. He would bring the owners into the White House and give them whatever they needed, whatever tax breaks they needed to bring their manufacturing back to the United States, and it was working. And all these manufacturers are coming back. Jobs were here. It was wonderful. But like you said, this is just they're asleep at the switch. In fact, there's breaking news that President Biden, during the opening speeches, he appeared to fall asleep at this climate conference.
I saw that. I saw the picture.
I just watched a 1 minute, 20-second clip, and he's there. He's awake. He's looking around. The next thing you know, his eyes droop, and then they stay drooped for about 30 seconds. He's catching cat naps. It's just, I mean, I do that, and it's despicable, but for the president to be doing it at this big conference, representing the United States of America, it's laughable. He makes it out to be a joke. He's falling asleep. This great climate conference, which is all questionable anyway.
Well, Bella,
so
just
we have
put
a leadership problem.
Well, we have a leadership problem without a doubt, and you know what? And further proof that this climate change is a ruse. Bella put an article in the chat room, and it's titled "Biden Sends Army of Aides, Cabinet Members to Glasgow Climate Summit Amid Major Problems at Home," and you see, and that's it. Amid major problems at home, so Biden. And a third of his cabinet will be at the UN climate change conference in Scotland that started Sunday, a high profile show of force. Attendees at the conference include transportation transportation secretary Pete Buttigieg, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, National Economic Council Director Brian Deese, Secretary of State Antony Blinken, Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm, Interior Secretary Deb Haaland, Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack, USAID Administrator Samantha Power. Wow, there's another Marxist. There's a communist right there. NOAA Administrator Rick Spinrad, White House Office and Technology Policy Director Eric Lander, and EPA Administrator Michael Regan. Biden Climate Advisor John Lurch Kerry and Gina McCarthy will also be in Glasgow. And to go along with this, on Drudge Report, it adds to the climate hoax, Jeff Bezos, was flying his private Gulfstream, and he led a parade of 400 private jets into the climate summit. Now,
400.
This is how much of a hoax this whole climate change is. But, you know, we say it's a hoax, but it's very profitable. This is the left wing's new religion, and it's very, very profitable. You will have the transference of wealth of the United States taxpayer by Biden, Harris, and Obama into this climate change ruse. And it will be highly profitable for the left wing to steal money from Americans. And don't forget now, would all of these attendees at the conference from the United States, they all have to have AIDS. Not AIDS as in the disease, but they have to have their AIDS with them. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg is not going to go there by himself. He'll have to bring a staff with him. So these people aren't going to fly on one plane over. They will seek means of transportation. Secretary Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen will certainly have to have a contingency with her. So this is costing the taxpayers dearly, not just in the commitment from Biden, Harris, and Obama as to how much money they will transfer from the American taxpayer coffers to this climate ruse, okay, that's being run by the United Nations. But we also will have money expended during a crisis time in America by all of these secretaries bringing all of their aides and their employees. And so they'll need hotel rooms. We'll have more planes going in and out of Glasgow. We'll need vehicles for these people to rent. And this thing will cost hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars that we don't have. And we have so much going on here in the United States that we need to have done and taken care of, that this climate change ruse that they're putting the energy into, if they would put the energy into bringing this same staff down to the southern U.S. borders to resolve the border issue, it could absolutely help illegal immigration into the United States. But they're not concerned about stemming illegal immigration. If they wanted to stop the issue of goods not being delivered into the United States at the ports, if they would take this staff, this agricultural secretary, the interior secretary, the energy secretary, the transportation secretary, and if they would have all flown to Los Angeles and they would have addressed the issue of getting these containers into port and getting them delivered around the United States, okay, so that there wouldn't be shortages, it could be resolved. But it's not profitable. It's not about working for the American people. It's the greatest con job against the American people. I mean, Pete Buttigieg can't go to Los Angeles, but he can now fly over, leave his adopted children, okay, with his husband, and then fly over to Glasgow for this climate change ruse. Oh, two cruise ships are being used for accommodations. I wonder who's paying for those cruise ships. Do you think the United Nations is paying for those cruise ships? Who's paying for all the food that's on those cruise ships, huh? You got to feed these mental midgets. You have to feed their staff because each one of them have brought staff over with them. Absolutely amazing. It's amazing. Why aren't we demanding that our government address the issues that we have right before us? They're traveling all over the world, yet we have a pandemic. You have to wear masks. Your kids have to wear masks. But you're flying all over the world, and you're dealing with this climate change ruse. The existential threat to humanity is climate change, bumbling Biden said in a recent tweet. In a few days, I'm headed to Glasgow to demonstrate commitment to the world that we will get to net zero emissions economy no later than 2050. It's ridiculous. China, India, and Russia could give a damn about this. There's no need to. There is no need to. But it's the ability for this Marxist regime in Washington, D.C. to believe that they should globalize America. The first and first, second, and third people in line of succession remain in the United Nations. So most important people for the continuity of government remain on American soil. That would be Harris, Nasty Pelosi, and Senate Pro Temp Patrick Leahy. Well, that really gives us a warm and fuzzy, shouldn't it? And yet they've taken all of these other people out and their staff at taxpayer expense. And in the meantime, the American citizen, the American working families are spending 50, 60, 70% more at the gas pumps. Boyd, he's not here. They're spending, what, $4.99 to $5.50 a gallon for gasoline in California? In Florida, gas prices are ranging between $3.19 and $3.60 a gallon. You've got up north, my friend PM, 54% increase in heating oil before they even put a drop of oil in for the 2021-22 winter season. 54% increase right out of a working family's budget. And these yahoos are flying over to Glasgow for some bogus UN climate change ruse. And in the meantime, American people are paying dearly because of Biden-Harris-Obama regime.
What's even a bigger joke, including that, is that the G20 leaders offered more indefinite pledges than commitments of firm action, saying they would seek carbon neutrality, quote, by or around mid-century. They also agreed to end public financing for coal-fired power generation abroad, but set no target for phasing out coal domestically, a clear nod to China and India. But the major polluters, as you said, China and Russia, have already made clear they had no immediate intention of following U.S. and European pledges to zero out all fossil fuel pollution by 2050. And so they're basically a no-show, and it got President Biden a little bit upset that Russia and China said, basically, we're not going to this charade.
Well, of course not. Why should they?
It's a charade with cocktail shrimp and free booze and a big party.
Yeah, all the global elitists sit there and they rub elbows and they talk big games. In the meantime, you know, they're eating, you know, $1,000 a plate dinners. Bezos and 400 of his elitist friends fly over in their private jets. Oh, there's a climate crisis. Oh, there is. Yeah. Yeah. And then you've got a delegation of 16 out of the United States. That would be 16 of the cabinet members and staff. And then their staff on top of that. So what is that? 95, 100 people from America delegation is going to be there with how many planes taking off from Washington ports? And then, okay, so now what about the cost of fuel? And what was this in Jihad Watch? Did you see this report in Jihad Watch about bumbling Biden going to Rome? He had an entourage, a motorcade, 85 car motorcade. 85 car motorcade, and he's telling us about man-made climate change. 85 cars to go to Rome. Seriously, this is absolute insanity. These people don't care about the American people.
No, that means that they had to have a C-130 transport bringing all these vehicles wherever they're going, because you can't put all these in a Hertz rent a Suburban. It just doesn't work that way.
Oh, you
then,
know what?
Here's the other part. With these hypocrites that went over in all their jets and all the American contingents of all the American politicians and their staff going, why didn't they volunteer to all go in a C-130 just like they loaded up all those unvetted Afghans at the closing of as we got out of Afghanistan and load up a C-130 and then save a lot of energy that way? That would have been good optics of putting your money where your mouth is. But these hypocrites didn't do that. No.
But wait a minute now. Okay, so what you're saying is, you're saying that the Biden, Harris, Obama regime would be working for the American people. And that's not what they're doing. They're not working for the American people. They're conning the American people. Because if this was a Trump administration, he'd be finding deals to work for the American people. And if China and Russia weren't going to be there, there's no reason for the United States to go. because China and Russia know that the climate change issue is a ruse. And you know what? Let the other countries pay for it. And it's exactly what's going to happen. The United States will probably commit, and they'll pay somewhere between $4 and $8 trillion over the next 50 years. $4 to $8 trillion. Think about that. $4 to $8 trillion. And what about Russia? What's China paying? China's building more coal fire plants. India's building coal fire plants. Do you think that the coal fire plants that they're building in China are as environmentally sound as those here in the United States? There's a coal fire plant in Orlando, Florida, that is the cleanest coal fire plant in the Southeast. It emits near zero emissions. The cleanest coal fire plant in the United States. I'm sorry, in the Southeast. Now, do you think China cares about whether or not the coal fire plant will have near zero emissions? No. All we hear about from these climate change fearmongers like John Kerry and Gina McCarthy and Joe Biden is how bad coal is. In the meantime, technology, and thank you to technology, it's enabled coal fire plants in America to be some of the cleanest, not only in America, but in the world. And that technology should be used by other countries such as China and India, who are polluting the world, even the environment, worse than any other countries in the world. Certainly far worse than the United States is doing today. In the meantime, the United States is going to be paying the lion's share of this climate change ruse. And the United Nations is licking their chops. And China gets a pass. India gets a pass. And it's more of the same jargon from these global elitists, including John Lurch Kerry.
Yep, and President Trump, if you remember, he withdrew from the Paris Accords and the Climate Accords, the Paris Climate Accords. He completely withdrew it, said this is all nonsense. Well, as of 8 hours ago, President Biden today apologized for President Donald Trump's decision to pull out of the Paris Climate Accord, saying it had set the world back and put us behind the eight ball, quote unquote. So he's sitting there and he's apologizing.
And that's what Biden was installed to do. It was to undo everything Trump did, and all Trump did was try to do for the American people, for America. And now we have a motivation by these elitists, these globalists, to one, dismantle our constitutional republic, and that's why Biden was installed to do so, and now to apologize when in fact President Trump made the right decision. You know, we have other things that are pressing here in the United States. We have other things that we need to get done in the United States. This whole climate change issue is a ruse. But you know what? It's the new religion of the left wing. The left wing has figured out that the reason why they've taken God out of America or attempting to take God out of America is to put Mother Earth in as the new goddess. And it's just it's absolutely insane what we're seeing today. And Biden this Biden Harris Obama regime has been put in place to fast track everything that they were attempting to do and continue to do from the Obama-Biden regime from 2009 to 2016. And when Hillary was not elected president, it scared the living shit out of these people. And now they're putting everything on fast track. If they really wanted to show urgency, they would have secured the borders. They would have secured America's borders, one, for national security, two, because there was a plandemic. At least that's what we're told, there was a plandemic in America. If you have illegal, unvaccinated, infected aliens coming into America, that means American citizens are being infected by illegal, unvaccinated, infected aliens. And if it's supposedly a crisis that we're dealing with, why wouldn't you secure the borders, our porous borders, from the infected, unvaccinated, illegal aliens coming into the United States? Not only did you not secure the border, you doubled down and you transported and delivered these illegal, unvaccinated aliens to all points in the United States, to cities and towns across America, and then had the audacity to blame unvaccinated American citizens for a spike and a rise in the China virus, irrespective of the fact that there's still a 99.7% survival rate if you contract the China virus. Irrespective of the fact that it's a 99.8% survival rate for children. Yet, this administration showed no urgency, which means that they don't care about the pandemic. The pandemic is power. It is to keep people in fear. Wear your mask. Stay home. Don't go anywhere. Wash your hands. Wear a mask. Wash your hands. Get vaccinated. You can't go in. Unvaccinated are the reason why people are dying. And in the meantime, we have an open border where millions of unvaccinated illegal aliens are pouring through. No sense of urgency. Yet they will go to Glasgow with a delegation of 100, 150. They will go to Rome with a motorcade of 85 and then preach to us about global climate change, man-made climate change. All of that's nonsense. It's a lie. It's no different than the Muslim Brotherhood lying to the American people about Islam meaning peace. It's a lie. But who's going to challenge them? It's not like the DNC News in America is going to challenge bumbling Biden. You know, 112 days without a news conference? I mean, where is the outrage, huh? Where is the outrage? Where is the accountability for bumbling Biden and hapless Harris? She lays the wreath at the monument of Ho Chi Minh. It is a slap in the face to each and every Vietnam veteran. It's a slap in the face to all 58,000 American soldiers who were killed in Vietnam. To laud the North Vietnamese communist who was complicit in killing the American soldier. And she fucking cackles. And there's no accountability for that. There's no outrage by the DNC media. Because it's like they're all in cahoots with each other. Where is the outrage that this is the most inept administration ever? I mean, this pales in comparison to Jimmy Carter and Walter Mondale.
Well, apparently you're just not thinking big enough, Vito, because President Biden, as he heads to the UN Climate Conference today, he's energized by a new legislative framework that, if enacted, would be the largest action ever taken by the United States to address climate change. The $555 billion plan for climate spending is the centerpiece of a sweeping domestic policy package Biden and congressional Democrats presented Thursday, hours before the president traveled to Rome for another summit ahead of the climate meeting in Scotland. Biden called the plan, quote, the most significant investment to deal with the climate crisis that ever happened beyond any other advanced nation in the world. Does that make you proud to be American?
$555 billion
for this nonsense. Let's go, Brandon. That's all I can say.
You know, I wonder if they fired that NBC news analyst, newsreader, for, you see, here they're chanting your name. Let's go, Brandon.
This whole thing is so organic, and it's just
it is hilarious. Let's go, Brandon. That's the kind of thing that is so – that has to be driving President Biden absolutely crazy because they can't control it. The Marxists can't control the organic growth of this Let's Go, Brandon, because everybody knows what it is, but they can't censor it because there's nothing to censor.
Exactly. Exactly. But you know what the censoring is not to play, okay, not to play it. So if it wasn't for Newsmax and OAN or Sky News for just for airing it, you wouldn't know it happened. So because, of course, it's not going to happen on the DNC news networks like ABC, NBC, the national NPR, the National Propaganda Radio, MSNBC or CNN. And you're right. They can't control it. How? What are they going to do? Are they going to arrest all 68,000 people in the Ole Miss Stadium for starting to chant, "Let's go, Brandon"? I mean, and see, this is another thing that tells you. This should tell you a lot right now. It should tell you that the American people are seeing through this ruse and this facade. And while the DNC media covers up for how inept bumbling Biden is and how inept hapless Harris is, the American people see right through it, which is just another indication that I don't believe that he got 81 million votes last year. You know what? We can't change that. The outcome, was it rigged? Quite possibly. Tomorrow, though, in Virginia, it's going to tell us a lot of what we should expect in the 2022 elections. And there's going to be some key gubernatorial races around the United States, including in Texas and Florida. I think Georgia is another key gubernatorial race, and of course Ron DeSantis' head is on the left wing platter because he's effective. He's doing positive things in the state of Florida, much to the dismay of the radical left wing narrative. And you have to start calling it what it is. This left-wing narrative is radical, it's anti-American, it's anti-constitutional. But there are some governors, like Kristi Noem from South Dakota, who really are trying to stick by the Constitution and believe that the government, that Washington, D.C., the federal government, has overstepped their boundaries. You have a president of the United States who's unilaterally dictating tyrannical policies through OSHA, which doesn't have the authority, and Congress just sits idly by. And of course, Congress will sit idly by because Nancy Pelosi agrees with this radicalism from the White House. Of course, Chuck Schumer is not going to object either. Chuck Schumer is just another puppet in Washington, D.C. for the Democrat Communist Party. So, you know, we're getting it from all different angles. We're getting it from the climate change. We're getting it from the education. We're getting it from the transportation side. We're getting it from the immigration and migration side. And they, meaning Biden, Harris, Obama, have plunged chaos into America. But the American people are starting to see it. And they're starting to push back. And it scares the heck out of government. And that's why you have Biden issuing edicts and you have Attorney General Merrick Garland dispatching the FBI and calling parents domestic terrorists. And you know what? To the parents' credit, I thought it would die out, but the Let's Go Brandon's not dying, and the parents aren't sitting back and shutting up. As a matter of fact, parents are doubling down now, you know. And they realize how dictatorial and tyrannical a government could be. And it certainly is under bumbling Joe Biden.
Well, here's another sort of related story. Press Secretary Jen Psaki said Sunday that she has contracted COVID-19, even though she's been fully vaccinated. She said she was last in contact with President Joe Biden on Tuesday when she met him in the White House. Psaki said they were more than 6 feet apart and wearing masks.
like that's going to stop a virus. Psaki is not traveling with Biden, who was in Rome for the Group of 20 summit, but will be in Glasgow, Scotland on Monday, less than a week later for the UN climate summit. So she contracted COVID, and then a week later she's going to be, well, she's actually, I guess, in Scotland now, probably a super spreader because she's already been vaccinated. So her symptoms may be lessened, but she can contract that virus to everybody that she's in contact with. I hope they take her temperature wherever she goes. But I think it's reckless that she would even go and attempt fate like that with world leaders, with something as significant as the COVID virus.
But she's vaccinated. But she's vaccinated. Do you know
yeah,
what I
think? Yeah, but she can still catch it and give it to you.
Let me tell you what I think happened.
Hmm.
And here, you know, we've got all this made about being vaccinated, right? Harry, being vaccinated. Get vaccinated. Oh, and you're going to lose your job if you're not vaccinated. Jen Psaki had probably two of the worst weeks for being White House press reader. And you could tell how nervous she's getting. Just watch a simple question, and she's got that bookbinder open, and she's flipping through pages while trying to answer questions. There's nothing in those. I don't know what's in those pages. Certainly the answers aren't. But I think she's had two of the worst weeks as press secretary. And you know, you've had Chris Wallace try to save it, and all of a sudden – she's got COVID. And what happens? She's not giving press briefings. She's 2 weeks without a press briefing. Now she's going to go to Glasgow with the other ruses out there. And there'll be another 3 or 4 days where she won't give a press conference or press briefings. So, you know, she needed that break because it's getting bad for Jen Psaki. People are tired of her lies, and she just flat out lies to you. She makes absurd statements, and she's not challenged for those absurd statements. And she's made a couple of absurd ones over the last couple of press briefings. And it was just like, really, did she really say that? And she did. And I really do think that they needed to find a way to get her off of this stage because she's becoming a liability. She's actually becoming a laughing stock where she's not being taken seriously anymore. You know, well, the president speaks to the press all the time. He answers questions from the press all the time. And then you look at a collage of press conferences where he reads from the teleprompter, answers one question, you know, what kind of ice cream do you like? And then when a real one comes in, what about the collapsing of Afghanistan? He walks away, turns his back, and he walks away. He might take one question, but he never addresses the media, certainly not in the fashion that President Trump did, where President Trump would stand there and answer questions. He may say, you're fake news. No, that is not right. But he takes the question. You see, Biden doesn't have the mental ability to do so. And his handlers don't want him to take any questions because they don't know what's going to happen. He'll go off script, and then he tries to be big man on campus, and he has diarrhea of the mouth. So Biden then, you know, the safest thing is for have Biden then avoid taking questions and doing press conferences. And Jen Psaki decides, Baghdad Bob Jen Psaki, you know, tells the news reader that, oh, well, the president talks to the press all the time. That wasn't the question. The question is, will the president be giving a press conference? Will he answer questions? Oh, he answers questions from the media all the time. That wasn't the question. So I think even the left-wing media is becoming a little bit annoyed and irate with Baghdad Bob Jen Psaki. And I think that the timeliness of her having COVID was perfect because she's had a couple of bad weeks. Hey, let time go by. You know, people will forget, and they'll start up again, and, you know, she'll have her – her book binder with her, flip through pages while she's attempting to answer or to read some sort of question, and she'll give you the same stock answer. In the meantime, watch that book binder and watch how quickly those pages start flipping. And it was those pages were flipping this past week. They were flipping rapidly. And there was nothing – I'm sure there's nothing on those papers. She's a bullshit artist is what she is. And she's there to cover for Biden.
That's
bubbly
her job.
Biden. Well, yeah, but you know what? There was some substance with Kayleigh McEnerney. She answered the questions. She knew the issues. She didn't have to give you convoluted answers and circle back to it. And then when you ask her to circle back to the question, well, she'll circle back to it again. Well, I don't have an answer yet. How many ums and ahs did you get from Kayleigh McEnerney? None. None. Yeah. Because she sat down with the President of the United States, and they were able to discuss topics. And when you're forthright with the American people, it becomes really easy to conduct press conferences. These people are not honest. Joe Biden is not an honest man.
No, and he gives a press conference, he'll turn around and leave. He won't take any questions, period. He just walks away.
They're not even press conferences. They're teleprompter readings. That's all it is, because they can't afford for this guy to go off script. If this guy goes off script, then what do you get? You get what happened at the April summit where he almost blew it for Obama with regards to the Ukraine.
That's true. I forgot about that.
Oh, you did? Oh, well, don't we? I think we have that soundbite.
Oh, that would be interesting to hear.
Yeah, you got Biden with diarrhea of the mouth and the Ukraine loan. You know, this is why they impeached President Trump, and this is why they sought to protect Joe Biden, and this is why the handlers of Joe Biden don't want him to talk freely.
Tonight there's some troublesome news for Joe Biden. No, it's not what you think or what you may have heard in some other news outlets. We generally don't dabble in that kind of stuff here, at least not on this newscast. No, this is actually a lot more important because it may have to do with malfeasance, may have to do with corruption on the part of our former vice president. I want you to listen to what Mr. Biden said last year about getting a prosecutor in Ukraine fired.
I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. I think it was, 6 hours? I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid at the time.
So so this guy has diarrhea of the mouth. He tries to be big man on campus. He always wants to be bigger than what he really is. He's not a humble individual. He's nothing but a liar and a cheat. And so this is what the media protects. This is who the media protects. And this is who he is. And his handlers can't afford for him to go off script. Make sure the teleprompter is large enough. Make sure he reads from it and he doesn't deviate from it. And to give a press conference would mean that he would have to deviate from any type of teleprompter reading because they can't type in the answer fast enough. And so what he'll do is he'll go off script. He'll talk about popcorn. And he'll talk about, you know, vanilla ice cream. He'll talk about kids rubbing his leg when he was in a pool. And they can't afford for that to happen. You know, or some guy grabbing his cheek and saying, blah, 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 you know, give some inane nonsense, you know, of an answer. And to deal with real issues, though, he's not dealing with real issues because he's not an honest individual. And the real issues are quite clear. It's what working families, it's what working Americans, what the middle class, what the working lower class, it's what the high middle class, it's what the American people want. And we want a government that is efficient and not conditioning Americans into be dependent upon the federal government. And what we have now is a mentality in Washington, D.C., led by bumbling Joe Biden and nasty Pelosi, is to make Americans indentured to the government again. Take you from the cradle to the grave and be dependent upon America. Be dependent upon the American government. You know, this is why Biden sought to do things bigger than what FDR did, created social insecurity. And yet we're going to give, it's reported now, there are some reports that the Biden administration wants to give illegal aliens something like $400,000 or $450,000 for being separated at some point. Excuse me, you're here illegally. You deserve nothing. What about our veterans? What about our seniors, huh? What about our seniors who the federal government had indoctrinated to be reliant upon social insecurity? And you're going to give people who haven't paid into the system, who haven't paid, you know, the price for being an American, you're going to give them $400,000 or any thousands of dollars, when in fact the people who have worked their asses off their entire lives in America are still living in squalor, or our veterans are living on the streets who fought, who signed up voluntarily to fight for the United States of America, their country, and they're living on the streets. They can't get medical care. They can't get housing. They're begging for food. There's food lines out there still in America, all across America. Fridays, I go by this church, and there's probably 150 cars that are in a field waiting to get food at a food bank. It shouldn't happen in America. It should not happen. Yes, you will have some people who will be left behind, without a doubt, but there is no reason for the federal government to have a welfare system where 50% of the American people are dependent upon the federal government for their existence. But this is how they've conditioned the American people. So we have a border crisis. Now we have another wave of illegal aliens who are coming in from the south who are going to penetrate the southern border. And they're off to Glasgow talking about some bullshit climate change with the useless nations. We have ports from Savannah, Georgia to Los Angeles that we're not getting goods delivered. And you've got the Department of Transportation secretary is off to Glasgow. The agricultural secretary is off to Glasgow for some climate change ruse. In the meantime, you got farmers who are told to destroy their fields or their crops, or the government will come in and destroy them for you. And we have people needing food in America. We had an abundance of products, of commodities, and now we have empty shelves in supermarkets across America. I mean, the priorities of these frauds today, Al, is just incredible. It's incredible. And this is just 10 months following an election, 10 months following an election, which tells you that this was all planned. And the installation of Joe Biden and communist Kamala Harris was all by design to place this whole thing on fast track. So tomorrow's going to be a big day. Tomorrow will tell us what we need to know if we're going to have free and fair elections in America. If McAuliffe, who is behind right now, and is his negatives are greater than any positives, if he wins, and if he wins big in Virginia, you know the fix was in. That means that 2022 will be a sham. The 2022 elections will be a sham. The Democrat Communist Party is in full control, and we're going to see more of this chaos that they have created. Don't mean to be negative. I just think tomorrow is going to be a telltale sign of what we're to expect come 2022 elections.
Well, it'll certainly be a weather vane moment. For sure. So I will be watching closely.
Okay, so is that a weather vane moment in the means of a climate change weather vane, or is it a weather vane moment in weather?
More like a pointy direction thing.
Okay. So not a climate change thing.
No, no, no. Pointy direction. Where if where if McDoofus loses, then it'll point to a good direction. If McDoofus wins, then the weather vane will point in a more Marxist direction, which would be bad for Team America, for our republic.
Yeah, for our republic. That's just it. Our republic. And I'll tell you, our founders were brilliant. They were brilliant men. And, you know, while they foresaw the shenanigans that we're seeing today, the powers to be in Washington, D.C. have gotten even stronger. And, you know, an 85-car motorcade goes to Rome at the cost of taxpayers, and you're going to talk about man-made climate change. And then you look at what's happening in Glasgow, you know, Jeff Bezos, 400 jets, private jets going in, flying into Glasgow. We have an entourage of 16 key members of the cabinet and the administration going to Glasgow, plus their staff. And the United States taxpayer is footing the bill for this ruse. And yet these same people can't go down to the border, can't go to our ports. You know, and then I understand from my wife that that turkeys for Thanksgiving are under scarcity. It's like, what?
Really?
They expect turkey prices to increase dramatically this year. Like, what? Well, that I'm sure that only meant that those people making over $400,000 a year would have their turkey prices increase. You know, but in the meantime, you know, the transportation secretary, the agriculture secretary, the interior secretary, they're all flying to Glasgow.
So does that mean everyone's going to have to eat tofurkey for Thanksgiving?
I wouldn't go that far. I'll cook sauce before I have no offense.
Well, I better keep my pet turkeys safe. They're going to be a high commodity item.
Yeah, because people want to gobble them up.
Oh, good one.
Oh, that was foul. I'm sorry. Hey, if you want to gobble up some shows, tomorrow we got Eric from Kafiristan right here on Global Patriot Radio, the Crossing the Crescent at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Eric was in the chat room a little bit earlier. Wednesday we got Hank Jones with Poly Sports. He's on at 5:30 p.m. Hank's going to be probably in a foul mood. Iowa Hawkeyes lost again. Another dismal performance. I think they scored 7 points this time. Thursday we got Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report, and Paul is the author of The Cancer of Civilization, Jihad. It's a follow-up to his other book that he had. It was The Civilization, Jihad, and the Myth of Moderate Islam, which you can also purchase the books on Amazon.com. So Paul does just absolutely great work, and he's got a couple of books that he's authored. Friday, we got Andrew Harrod with Conservative Casual Friday. He's on at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. I think he's going to be talking about some of the food shortages and the shortages around the United States. So he'll have a good show on Friday. And then Saturday, we have Minister Simon Dakdek and the beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Islam is probably the most hated man by the Muslim Brotherhood, who goes around the United States and they stalk Minister Simon Dakdek. And they seek to silence his free speech. And again, you have an issue with free speech in America being challenged by anti-Americans like the Muslim Brotherhood. Hamas Care loves to stalk and bully Minister Dakdek, but Osama doesn't sit back and take it idly. He fights back as well because he's not afraid. But and I encourage you to listen to Osama. Osama does a fantastic job, and he doesn't buy the bullying from the Hamas Care or any of the Muslim Brotherhood front groups. Sunday, Eric from Kafiristan is back with his interfaith dialogue, Crossing the Crescent. It's the real interfaith dialogue. If you want to understand Islam and Christianity, please go to Eric's show on Sunday. And Al and I will be back on Monday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I just wanted to read some of the shows. And, of course, if you want to check other shows out on Blog Talk Radio, G-Ski and Dave, Airwaves America, Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. G-Ski, praying for you, bud. I hope you're doing better. Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio. Annie and Curtis are on Fridays, 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Annie's given me the opportunity to co-host her show a couple of times. It's a great show. She has some great guests. And Curtis is fantastic. Chief, Simple Facts of Life, Tuesdays, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on Blog Talk Radio. Audrey Russo, Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursdays. Go to audreyrusso.com. She has some great guests as well. And if you want a break from politics and if you want a break from Islam, you want a little self-help, check out the Simone Nicole Show Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Spreaker.com, Spreaker.com. It is the sister network or website, internet website of Blog Talk Radio. Simone Nicole's great, and Joshua is the host of that show, and he gives you some great tips to try to live your life better. I'm just not sure about the swamp water he drinks, though. Just not really sure about that. I don't know if you ever heard of it. Who the hell wants to drink swamp water? But, you know, leave it to people down under. I guess they drink the swamp water.
We got some breaking news.
Oh,
9,000 New York City workers, including firefighters and officers, on unpaid leave over mandate. The mayor's office they don't know what to do. 9,000 workers on unpaid leave.
Whoa.
Meanwhile, 250,000 to 300,000 raging illegals are wanting to go to war at our border. So a lot of interesting things that are percolating, soon to blow up town or city near you.
But you'll be happy to know that bumbling Biden and a 16-person cabinet entourage are a delegation or are in Glasgow to talk about the climate ruse with the United Nations, the useless nations. And in the meantime, the borders are being affected. We have people who are losing their jobs as a result of the dictatorial, tyrannical edict of bumbling Biden. And 9,000 workers in New York. Is it New York City or New York State?
New York City.
New York City. That's huge. This is the same administration that cut $1 billion from the police budget.
Not smart.
No. But that's what you have. You have a communist in Warren Wilhelm, running the city. They should be outraged by the media, should be outraged by the people of New York, and yet this guy gets away with it. 9,000. It's really quick. If you ever watch the movie The Out-of-Towners with Jack Lemmon, take a look at the garbage strike that was there, that had, okay? So I had my cousin call me, and we were talking about this. He goes, you should see the garbage that's just absolutely on the streets of New York City. It is absolutely pathetic what we're seeing. And this is from Warren Wilhelm de Blasio.
I haven't heard about the garbage strike.
They don't have a garbage strike. It's absolutely incredible because you have 9,000 workers. That's sanitation workers. That's police. That's fire. That all impacts all that stuff. This is how bad the Marxists are.
The mandate. People are saying no, nada.
Just say no. Just say no.
Thank you. No, thank you.
No, thank you. Hey, stay firm, stay tough. Thank you all for joining us today. We'll see you guys next week. And you know what? If you don't believe in a man, just say no. Screw them.
That's right. This is Get rid of that long States. Face because life is good. Smile. Big smile.
That's right. Big smile. Big smile. All right, folks. Be safe out there. Thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you next week. Ciao.
I've had my fill, my share of losing, and now as tears.
That's all, folks.
Great job. I didn't even throw you with my very rude interruption.
What was?
Oh,
no.
Stupid smiley face. Get rid of the long. Get rid of your long face and smile.
That was good. Oh, I'm about beat. I'm sorry. It probably resonated. Just a little bit slow right now.
Long day.
Yeah. How about that long face? Well, it actually went pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know I hope we didn't beat a dead horse on that. You know, just I don't know. There's just something wrong with it, Al.
With what?
The election part of the, there's something wrong with the election part. There's something wrong with this whole climate change issue, and the fact that that you got Biden has an 85 car motorcade, and the issue is climate change, and then there's only a 20 car motorcade, okay, in Glasgow. Oh, I mean, but then you look at all the people who are at the Useless Nations Summit in Glasgow. I mean, you have almost the entire cabinet there. Well, you know, the border secretary, Mayorkas, didn't go, and neither did the labor secretary. Oh, well, that makes it so right then, right? Correct?
Yeah. Well, then this fucker's pledging $500 billion?
Yeah, exactly. $500 billion.
Like it's nothing. And then apologizes for Trump. It's disgusting. And then the fucker falls asleep during the opening ceremony.
Oh, that's just embarrassing. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Oh. That is just absolutely. That's why we know and we understand now that the whole mission against Trump was all manufactured and engineered, and it was all by design. I mean, no one could be this stupid. I mean, oh my God. I'm sorry. This is just, wow.
And they're not. They're competent. This is what
they
want.
They are. Exactly.
What we view as incompetent, they view as success.
Yep.
That's what people aren't getting. They think they are successful. We're beside ourselves, and because we see failure, but they see success in the failure. Now, how do you wrap your head around that? A lot of drugs.
Oh. I mean,
Jack
really
Daniels
simple.
Will help.
Yeah. Yeah, Jack Daniels will help.
It's simple.
And then that'll probably be the supply will be scarce there because there won't be any corn.
Right. Jack Daniels will go up. Too funny.
Oh, $555 billion spending pact. Wow. Wow.
That's a lot of moolah.
Yeah, that really is. Gosh. All right. Well, have a good evening.
You do the same. Great show as always.
Hey, I'll talk at you later.
All right. Have a great week.
Bye, Sue. Talk to you later. Ciao.
Adios.
That's all, folks.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.